Hey, it's Sean.
Hey, it's Bree.
And this is I Can Explain,
the podcast where we answer questions that you are too afraid to ask.
You keep doing it.
What?
Where's the?
Oh, fuck me.
Put the back in.
Okay.
Give me the.
The podcast where we answer the questions. Is it the or the? I don't know English well enough.
The.
The.
Jesus Christ. You're just looking at me with glazed eyes going, the.
I'm going to get this out of the way. I'm very stressed this week.
Yeah, Bree's very stressed.
So
I'm going to get this out of the way because I didn't last time. And this week we're talking about, this week's topic is gender.
Yeah, which is a doozy of a topic.
It really is for two sissies.
Yeah, that you wanted to do sissies.
Sissies. That's C-I-S-S-Y.
Absolutely. I feel like we've kind of skirted around this topic just because, as we've talked about before when we did the bisexual episode, we are cis.
Yeah.
In the same way that we were not bisexual when we were talking about bisexuality. So we're coming from it in a place we know about this or we're experts, but in a place that I think it's important for us to discuss topics like that because they're very prevalent in the queer community.
Yeah.
And I think that's enough, right? That's where we're coming at. Same. If you listen to the bisexual episode, you know where we're coming from. We're not speaking for bisexuals.
I'm not this is us talking about gender because we're trans and understand it and the complexities and how that would. Yeah, no.
We're not doing that.
We're stupid and cis, and we're here to stay.
The worst kind of people. Okay, well, before we get into that, I want to thank all of our patrons, and a huge shout out to Aiden, Emily, Kate, Olivia, Liz, and Serena. Thank you so much for being so generous and supporting I Can Explain Podcast. Make sure to check us out over on Instagram at I Can Explain Podcast. Link in bio for merch. The holidays are coming up. If you're looking for merch for someone who is also a listener or for yourself.
Absolutely.
Would be great.
If you're already saying the holidays are coming up, it's October. You are just as bad as fucking
You have
Walmart.
To plan ahead. You have to plan ahead. I start buying gifts in October for the holidays.
That's good. I like to wait until Black Friday.
Then When's you get some that fucking, again?
Like November.
Oh.
Because then you get some fucking deals for the Christmases.
Should we do a little Black Friday deals deal on
for
our,
the Christmas?
On our merch?
Probably.
Oh, that would be cute.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we don't know what it's going to be, but keep an eye out.
Yeah, we don't know what it's going to be or how to do it, but we'll try.
We also have some very exciting stuff that we're not going to tell you yet coming down the pipeline.
Yeah.
Hint, episode 150. Hint, hint. Nudge, nudge.
Oh, I was like, what episode is this?
I actually don't know, but I know that that is our goal for the launch.
Yes.
Secret
great launch.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing.
What isn't about this podcast? Just kidding.
From start
Name
to finish,
Name one
it's
great
incredible.
Thing that's ever happened in this podcast.
It would be hard.
Maybe the Great Depression that we've given people, but that's about it.
Oh, my God.
Sir. Before we start talking about gender, I wanted to make a few more. I think I only have one more stripper comment.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I find it so obscene.
Yeah.
That you can tip strippers in the States with dollars.
With $1.
With
bills.
A dollar.
I know.
And I feel so bad when I see strippers counting out their money because there's a few strippers that I used to follow on Instagram.
Strip Talk?
Yeah.
Have you seen Strip Talk? I love it.
And there was a few that I followed on Instagram because they were amazing pole dancers. I stopped following them because it was a lot. But yeah, I was and still am on Strip Talk as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel bad when they're counting out their fucking money and
it's ones.
There is nothing in this world I would do for a dollar. Literally not a single thing I would do for a dollar. Shake a titty, shake a butt cheek, nothing.
Okay, hear me out, though.
Okay.
Hear me out. I hear what you're saying because I absolutely agree that you should not, as a patron of a strip club, you should not walk in and be like, here is a single dollar.
Yes.
Okay? But
I think I know what you're going to say.
I will say, when you have dollar bills, it doesn't feel like money.
Okay, that's what it's loose.
It's loose. It's like, whatever. Like, when I feel like, I don't feel this way when I'm at a strip club, but as I talked about before, there were some freaking cheapos when we were in the strip club.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like, mentally, They're like, oh, it's a $5 bill. Like, that's like...
Right, they almost expect you to do things for $5.
They expect you to do more, which is fucking stupid again. I'm not saying that's right, but I just witnessed a lot of cheapos literally not tipping or, like, giving, like, one $5 bill per, like, three songs.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I feel like they're like, there you go. There is your five. Whereas when you have ones, and maybe it's also just a different, like... dynamic, but when you're at a strip club in the States, like in Vegas, or like I talked about Portland, like people take out like a stack of ones, and I feel like it starts to feel like Monopoly money, because
so
you're just
true.
Like, whatever, and you just throw it.
Look, because I could reach into like a canvas bag with like a dollar sign spray painted on
right.
it at a strip club and just like throw handfuls of
yes.
ones, because that would seem fun. Or like
so
one of those
fun.
Guns.
the ones that shoot
yeah.
$1 bills
but
out.
If I was doing one of those with fives,
yeah.
I think after like 30 seconds of money cannon, I would be like, oh.
Yeah. Whereas ones, you wouldn't yeah. think about
no.
it. You'd be like, trigger happy. Yeah.
It's like, I don't know, $45, but like fucking 9 fives come out. That's already the
stressful,
yeah.
feels stressful, right?
Yeah.
So I think it could go both
okay,
ways.
I get it.
I also like the that. Image of like strip clubs here because of, for those listening that don't know this, the lowest denomination of bills in Canada are $5. That's
yeah.
why we're talking about it. We have loonies and toonies.
Yeah.
Or coins.
And if you brought coins to a strip club, I think you, I would stab you.
Yeah. I'm gonna
protect my girls.
Sean's just at strip clubs waiting for people
yeah.
to pull out coins. but yeah, I just feel like I like the image also of like here a stripper goes on, does a song, at the end they're like cleaning up their bills and there's like maybe like 6 fives on the ground,
right?
Which
I love, like,
sad in general, but the image of in the States when people are throwing ones, first of all, I feel like people give more, and then at the end it's like the stage is like covered in ones,
yeah, and they come out with like a literal broom,
yeah, yeah. And it's like it just like the
aesthetic.
I like the aesthetic of it.
Yeah.
Have you seen the Miami strippers on Strip Talk that literally get like thousands
yes,
and
of course
thousands, like 20 grand of like ones?
Yeah. And have you seen the one in Miami that drops like 30 fucking feet from the sky
no.
on a pole and doesn't just absolutely like blow her knees out?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Speaking of knees being blown out, the
okay.
drama of Drag Race UK.
Oh, it's a lot.
The knee being blown out.
Yeah.
What do you think's going to happen?
I don't know.
Do you think they're going to send her home?
Probably.
I think so, too.
Okay, this is my thought, though.
Okay.
I think it's a good thing to happen.
Why?
Because if you blow your knee out on, like, basically any drag show...
You come back.
You come back.
Yeah.
And then
that's so
you come
true.
Back as, like, a fan favorite because people know who you are.
I thought, yeah.
And then... You get, like, double exposure as well.
Yes.
So, and if you went in and you realized maybe your outfits weren't the same or, like,
mm-hmm.
not the same caliber,
right.
you now have time to adjust it. Like, if I was on Drag Race, I would be trying my very hardest to blow my knee out at any turn.
You're just taking a bat to your own knee.
Like, I'm jumping off the stage, like, twice an hour.
You're like, I'm looking for a round two,
yeah.
bitch. Longevity.
I'm just throwing myself through walls.
Okay, so for those of you who don't know what the fuck we're talking about right now, what's her name? Victoria?
Victoria Stone.
Okay.
Stone.
Is it Stone?
Scone.
Okay, Victoria Scone.
Harry Potter and Victoria Scone.
Victoria Scone.
Yeah.
Okay. It takes me a while to get their names down, okay?
Yeah.
RuPaul's Drag Race UK just started, and Victoria Scone is the first AFAB lesbian on RuPaul's Drag Race, I think ever, in any of the franchises.
I think so.
Right? I don't know for sure, like, because I don't watch, like, there's Spain, there's,
yeah.
is there Sweden,
there's so many.
Netherlands, there's, anyways, of the ones that I've watched, it's the first,
yeah.
okay? And so that's great. Anyways, she blew her fucking knee out.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, because this was, like, the first, it shouldn't have happened, because it was the first time that Rue... did this where the two winners in a non-all-star season
oh, yeah.
competed with lip sync. So she shouldn't even been
no,
lip syncing.
Rue was targeting that
oh.
knee.
yeah. Rue
was like,
direction.
Target acquired. Get her on for a lip sync.
So usually in non-all-star seasons, only the like bottom lip sync.
Yeah.
And did you notice how they didn't do it the week after? They're like, we're going to have these bitches dropping like flies.
I think it was supposed to be just a first episode kind of thing.
Right.
But I am not 100% convinced that Crystal Versace didn't like Nancy Kerrigan. Victoria's
Oh,
Stone.
Yes. 100%. Yeah. 100%.
Behind the stage, she hit her with like a fucking, I don't know, eyeshadow palette or something.
Okay, but also hear me out. Hear me out. Okay, I understand that her knee was already fucked up, so she couldn't do much.
Yes.
Okay? She should have been in the bottom this week, in my opinion. Like, she should have... She sat there in the fucking competition. Yeah. She couldn't do the competition. I understand it was because of her knee. Her outfits were not good.
No.
Her performance was not good.
Confirmed.
So even with her sitting there, she wasn't doing enough. Like, she should have done more, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And her outfit wasn't good. So, like, her runway.
Yeah.
So, literally, she should have been in the bottom two. And I think they purposely didn't put her in the bottom two because they were like... She can't lip sync because she can't move around the stage. And we're just going to boot her tomorrow anyways because of the medical thing.
Yeah.
And then she didn't get sent home. So then it'll be this like rebound story for the next season.
For sure. Also, if I blew my knee out and I was still there, yeah. they hadn't sent me home yet, I would ask for one of those little scooters that you put your knee on.
Yeah.
And in a lip sync, I'd be fucking scooting around.
Oh, I thought you meant like one of those motorized ones, like the people at Disneyland, which I also love.
That could work too.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
I kind of just want one of those.
Yeah. I can blow your knee out. Let's do this.
So, yeah, gender.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that is an interesting segue, considering we talked about an AFAB lesbian who is on a drag show.
Yeah.
Which I think drag, I think, has helped and hindered.
Yes.
Helped for a few years.
Yeah.
And now hindered the conversation on gender.
Really? Why do you think that shifted?
Well, because growing up and when I was starting to go out and I would see drag queens, it was a very typical old man in bad makeup and like scary kind
being
of...
Being a stereotype of a woman.
Yeah. And it... wasn't like popular.
Right. Yeah.
And then I think Drag Race obviously did a huge number on popularizing and bringing drag to like an entirely new platform and this entirely new stage that it had never been. So I think it really changed some people's perspective on drag and gender.
Yeah.
And there was less judgment, I think, about men dressing as women and, like, the art of that style of drag. Mm-hmm. But then I think the conversation about gender has evolved so much since that we have so many amazing drag kings, drag things, you know. Drag has evolved so much in the past fucking, like, how long has RuPaul been out? Like, 10 years or something like that. It's evolved so much in that time.
Yeah.
And now, obviously, they're starting to make some shifts with like Victoria's Stone, Curse of the Victoria's Stone, Gottmik, you know, they're starting to, but it's a very slow entry into where we see drag in our own community currently.
Yeah. Which is really true because Drag Race is not a reflection of the drag that you see at the local gay bars in Vancouver.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Maybe in some smaller
in certain
towns
places,
or more
yeah.
conservative areas. I'm sure that their drag is more just female impersonation.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about it.
Whereas, like, here, like, in the local scene, I would think of drag as just, like, well, first of all, if you're going to a drag show, it would be very rare that you'd be like, oh, we're going to watch drag queens. It's like drag performers because there's so many drag performers or drag things that are non-binary, trans... are not directly stereotyping, like, being a female impersonator. You know what I mean? In the sense that they're, like, not cis already. So, like, the traditional sense of drag is, like, you are this particular cisgendered male.
Yeah.
And you're becoming or acting like or stereotyping a cisgendered female. And that becomes really blurred when you are not cisgendered in the first place and you are also not impersonating a cisgendered person. It just becomes like a performance art.
Exactly.
Right? And it's interesting to me because actually at Pride, at one of the events, I was standing next to this person who it was like their first Pride and first drag show. And they literally said to me, they're like, oh, this is like nothing like RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah.
We were at Man Up, for those who know, in Vancouver. And I was like, oh, what do you mean? And they're like, oh, well, like, they don't really like look or act like women. And I thought that was a really interesting statement. I quite disagreed with her saying that. I didn't know this person or anything like that really well. They just started kind of talking to me. But
Yeah. It
was just interesting to me because I was like, well, what does a woman act like?
Yeah.
Like, what does that statement within itself is weird to say.
Exactly.
Like, they don't look or act like a woman. Well, what does a woman look or act like?
Like, to you.
To you. So, like, to them, their perspective, because they had never been in a queer space. And I'm not, you know, holding this person...
No.
To this, because honestly, I feel like there is like a large learning curve with being in queer spaces.
Totally.
That like the things that I thought about drag or queerness or gender representation, or all these things, when I first came out, because of the small bits of representation I had, was very close-minded to a lot of things that now I would completely differently about. And this person, their representation that they had seen was RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah.
So they thought that's what drag was. Like, that was all-encompassing of drag.
Yeah.
And now it's like this thing, like, as you said, that it almost, that perspective almost hinders it, because it starts to be this thing where it's almost... like doubling down on the binary.
For sure.
Because it's like, oh, well, to do good at drag or to be a good drag queen, you have to be like out of drag, this very like male, cis male presenting person. And then you transform into this very like cis female stereotyped look. And that's in a weird way, like, just saying that if that's the only way to be good at drag, that means that like that's, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, definitely.
That, like, the binary is what's important.
Well, I also think that was clearly an issue with... Oh, I mean, that's a racist thing, too. But the Drag Race fandom is a fucking nightmare and a racist dumpster fire half the time.
Yeah.
But a lot of it, for the longest time, was that there was clear popular favoring of queens that were just... fishy looking.
Yes, 100%.
It was like, unless you're trying to be a hot woman.
Yeah. Unless you're a skinny, hot, white woman.
Yeah. No one's going to really follow you that much.
Yeah.
So,
totally.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because you do see that. Like, the follower count that goes up on these skinny, like, really, again, I'm air quoting, you can't see it, but like, women looking.
I've just had very lubricated fingers recently.
Oh, God,
do you like that?
Get your fucking finger
sorry, they're
joints
just so
away
lubricated.
From my, oh my God, I'm disgusted. Is really odd, right?
Yeah.
Because there's so many aspects to drag that, like, drag in its form is supposed to make you, like, think differently about gender. And like you said, that's what it originally did, because the idea that men were going to be, air quotes, cross-dressing was so brave and is still so brave. I'm not taking away from that.
Yeah.
But at that point, that was enough of a push for people to think differently about gender.
Exactly.
The fact that a guy would want to wear a dress was a wild concept, right? That now we've progressed as a society, at least in certain areas, that we need more of a push almost.
Yeah.
So like people fall back on that because that's not pushing their boundaries. Whereas when you see a non-binary person up there performing drag and you're in your mind, it doesn't fit within the binary that you've thought of as gender, it kind of mind fucks you a bit. And it's supposed to. Like, drag's supposed to make you think. But people like to fall back on what they're comfortable with.
Yeah. It's like drag should be playing with gender.
Yeah.
But if it doesn't fit in this box of playing with gender, I don't understand it. It's not for me.
Yeah, it's not for me. And they're not a good performer because I can tell that, like, you know, I can tell that they're not fishy enough for me.
Yeah, exactly.
Or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
But the really cool thing is in Vancouver, at least, there's so many amazing drag shows that really bend the way that you think about gender. And the performers are incredible at doing so.
We have some fucking top-notch performers here.
We really fucking do. And But it's interesting to think about because a couple of my favorite performers here are people that I know probably would not get on Drag Race just because they don't fit into that box.
For sure.
And interestingly enough, a couple of the performers that perform in Vancouver, drag performers, just got announced that they're on Canada's Drag Race. And they are amazing drag queens and so deserving of that place. You know, friends of ours, and I'm so excited for them, but they do fall into that more drag race look.
Which is funny because when Canada's Drag Race yes. was announced in their publication of yeah. their announcement and how they were using language to describe mm-hmm. what the show was going to be, they basically painted this picture yeah. that Canada's Drag Race was going to be more inclusive of mm-hmm. drag things, drag kings, people yeah. of different like gender identities. They were mm-hmm. kind of pushing that it was going to be this yeah. more all-encompassing thing.
Yeah.
And then... It hasn't been. On, especially the second season, there are quite a few performers who are non-binary.
Yes.
But their drag still does fit more of a typical drag outline.
Totally.
Yeah.
Like, they're non-binary, but still, once they're in drag, they fit that kind of RuPaul's Drag Race
yeah.
mold.
Yeah.
You know, it goes back to, like, even with Ru, like, constantly being like, oh, you have to wear a certain level of heel. Or yeah. else it's not, like, whatever.
Or so, like, going back to Rue being like, I hate trans people. Let me frack your land. You know.
Exactly.
Just Rue saying.
Exactly. Whereas, like, it's crazy because there's so many performers here in Vancouver. Like, I can put it this way. I can tell which ones would get on.
For sure.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's crazy that you can just tell. Like, you're like, all you are so fucking talented. Like, equal. Let's say they're all exactly
That's the
equally
thing.
Talented.
Like, the ones that aren't going to get on are the ones that would win, too.
Like, hey, that's true.
Not saying anything about the ones that made it on. Like, I am obsessed with all Vancouver queens, yeah. especially the ones that are on these current seasons.
But that's what I mean. I'm like, they're all so equally talented, but if they stood in a line, you can tell who's going to get picked for the show.
For sure.
Is what I'm saying. Yeah. Is like,
which is unfortunate.
Which is like so weird to think, like, that I'm not going to name them, but I can name a few that would do incredible on the show, but I just know they wouldn't get cast
yeah.
because of their type of drag.
Yeah.
Which is so strange to me.
Yeah.
It's so strange to me. But hopefully that begins to shift. I mean, I hope as a franchise, because unfortunately at the end of the day, it is a business,
yeah.
that they start to see that when they have people on there that don't fit that mold, they become fan favorites. Because it's there's this need for it.
Yeah.
And they have an incredible story for kind of breaking that mold. You know, Got Mick is a perfect example.
Yeah.
And they hopefully, as from the business standpoint, they should already be doing it just because of the other standpoint. But from a business standpoint, I hope that they, as a franchise, are like, okay, hold on. It's really successful and these contestants do really well
yeah.
that are not in this typical mold.
Yeah.
So, like, let's do more of that.
For sure. I mean, yeah, I'm hopeful that the conversation just keeps being loud and ever evolving, and then hopefully they catch up.
Yeah, totally.
Hey, Gabers, today's episode is sponsored by Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert in language learning for 30 years for a reason. They are so good at helping you learn a language naturally in a way that allows for long-term retention, and it actually works. Trust me, this is coming from someone who attempted to learn a language in high school through the whole textbook old school method. Did not work. Rosetta Stone is different than that, okay? They really focus on allowing you to really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. I also love a feature that they have built in that's called True Accent. It's a speech recognition feature, and it's like having a personal trainer for your accent. It's super convenient. You can do the lessons on your desktop or in app, and it's an amazing value. The lifetime membership has all 25 languages, so you don't have to stop at one. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, I Can Explain podcast listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
I wanted to talk about gender because we got a DM. I think it was in one of our Q&As or the Well You Asked, something like that. I don't know. Maybe it was just out of the blue. Who knows? And it said, what do you guys think of they, them pronouns?
Okay.
And would you ever consider using them?
Okay.
And I was like, that's a very...
interesting question.
Interesting, slightly loaded question.
Yeah, damn.
I'm like, I don't know if I would necessarily also respond to this in
a DM,
but it is an interesting question. Mm-hmm. But I remember, and I don't know if I've talked about this before, that when I was younger, I was like convinced that I had to be a girl.
Yes. Yeah, you have talked about that before.
Because I didn't understand that. This was before I even knew that I was gay.
Mm-hmm.
And I started having feelings, even as a child.
Yes.
If we went all the way back and you asked me, I had feelings for men, but I didn't understand that I could be gay because I didn't understand what being gay was.
Right.
So I was so convinced because of the gender stereotype roles of our fucking civilization that the only way that I could have feelings for men was if I was a woman.
Right.
Which was very confusing.
Yes. Yeah.
So, that was a ride.
Yeah. No kidding. Yeah.
So... I don't know. It's just I think I've always kind of struggled with gender, but never outside of the umbrella of being cis, which is weird.
Yeah. No, I get that. Like within that cisness, you were concerned that you weren't fitting the cis male mold.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Is that what I'm saying? I'm putting words in your mouth.
So no. Yeah. I'll take them. My mouth is open. Stuff them on in.
Here's the thing. First blanket statement, I'm all for they, them pronouns.
Oh my God,
absolutely. Whoever wants to use them, and as is Sean. But I can only speak for myself. And for myself, I would say that any time that I've even considered, hey, like, is there more to my gender than these she, her pronouns?
Yeah.
Okay. I've realized that for myself, and only for myself, again, I'm speaking for myself.
Yeah.
I've realized that any time I've thought about that, it's weirdly attributed to some level of internalized misogyny or expectation that I am not being enough of a woman.
Right.
So for me, it's kind of in a similar breath to what you were saying. It's like, okay, if I am only wearing guys' clothes, because 90% of my wardrobe is in the quote-unquote men's section, and if I am not following the societal norm expectations for a woman, meaning I'm not dating, marrying men, and I don't agree with some of society's stereotypes for what a woman should be, or ladylikeness, or whatever it may be, then that must mean that I am not a woman.
Yeah.
In the sense that I realized that any of those thoughts was attributed to me being like, oh, I'm not like that woman.
Yeah.
And that goes back to like this internalized misogynistic thing that like, oh, I'm a guy's girl and I'm not like a girl. You know what I mean?
Yeah, our favorite.
Where it's like, I realized that I am 100% a woman. She, her pronouns fit for me. And me putting on men's jeans or a button-up shirt does not make me any less of a woman.
Yeah.
And I feel so confident and comfortable in being a woman and being a woman-identifying lesbian. And any bend to that or any mental state that I've ever had against that is because I have these internalized things that I'm not being the woman that society expects.
For sure.
And I think with that, realizing and respecting the trans and non-binary community, that for them, their transness and their, you know, identity as non-binary or trans, or using they, them pronouns, is not about putting on a button-up shirt.
Exactly. Yeah.
And for me, like, acknowledging that and being like, I do not have body dysmorphia. I know that I'm a woman in my core. And for me to, and again, I'm talking for myself personally, for me to adopt pronouns or identify in any way other than cis because of something as, in my mind, stupid as wardrobe choices, yeah, or presentation choices would be offensive to the struggle that they have to go through as trans and non-binary people.
Oh, for sure.
That's for me.
Yeah, no.
And again, I am not gatekeeping. If people want to use they, them pronouns, if people, for them, it is putting on a button-up shirt and they don't get the she, her thing, and that's for you. I can only speak for me. And for me, I just see, I have so many friends that are trans and non-binary that I see what they go through and endure, and it's not just like a fun choice to add to their Instagram bio.
Yeah.
And I think that I get nervous talking about that because I don't want to come off like I'm gatekeeping and saying, oh, you have to struggle, you have to all these things in order to identify in a certain way. But I do think, and maybe I'm completely incorrect, maybe I'll change my mind on this, but I do think that with things like pronouns being such a hot topic, that there's certain people, cis people, that would maybe find it just like, oh yeah, sure, why not? I could also add those pronouns to my bio.
Right.
And I'm not saying it's trendy. I'm not trying to go there. But I just think internally I had to have that conversation with myself and be like, okay, I'm learning more about different gender expressions and different gender identities. And how do I think all of us as queer people reflect quite often on our sexuality, on our gender, because we're around these topics all the time.
Yeah.
So, like, how do I know that I'm XYZ?
Yeah.
How do I know I feel like this? And just from my internal reflection, like, that's the consensus I've come to.
Yeah, I think that is very fair. And I think that gender is obviously a very incredibly personal thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And I hate when people make it anything but that.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, it's a very individual journey, and that's why I think it's so ludicrous when people have an issue with other people's gender. I'm like, how is this fucking affecting you?
0%.
It's absurd.
Yeah.
But I think that my gender struggles were definitely very much in the same vein, mostly because growing up, there was a very typical image of what a man was.
Yes.
I have also think I've talked about this, but like my dad is very masculine, was a football player, like was a jock, like his friends are like fishers and they watch football and they have Super Bowl parties and all this, and the 90s wasn't super great for representation of anything but that. The fucking 80s were super sexist. Like, there was this image of a man that I would see, like I've said it before, watching fucking Don Cherry do
the sports
recap.
In Canada and stuff.
That is what was, and like lumberjacks and all. There's this idea of a man that almost was pushed on from like the 50s of the man's gonna go and, you know, work his job and his wife's gonna be at home baking in an apron and all this stuff.
Play football.
And then just this horrible image of a man that I didn't relate to.
Yeah.
And my confusion with my gender for a long time was that I wasn't that type of man. And there was no way I could get to that kind of man.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, there's no way this cookie's going to crumble and I'm going to somehow be this person.
Yeah, 100%.
I was like, it's just not going to happen. Sorry, Dad, but, like, it's just, I'm not going to be...
A little too far off.
Yeah, I was like, I have a floral suit, but it's definitely in a different image than Don Cherry's. So...
Oh, my God, gender expression bending Don Cherry.
I'm really
suit.
An icon, yeah. Fuck that man. I hate that man.
toxic masculinity at its finest.
Literally.
Yeah. It's painful.
So, yeah, that was a lot of where my confusion came from. And a lot of it, not saying also that gender identity comes down to confusion as well. Yeah. This is, once again, just a personal...
This episode, like any episode that's important, is going to be loaded with potentially us saying the wrong thing.
Yeah.
But instead of skirting topics because we're afraid of saying them, we think that the importance of talking about them trumps us potentially making a mistake.
Yeah, for sure.
If that makes sense.
Yes.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's where a lot of mine laid as a child, and having these feelings and hobbies and likes and even stupid things like clothing. Like, I remember my sister would dress me up in like dresses and stuff, and I was never like offended by it. Like, I would come down in like heels and a dress, and I didn't have the feelings that other people were projecting onto me.
Yes.
Like, I remember like my dad's friends or somebody would find that like funny or like kind of like gross in a way.
Yeah.
But I didn't feel that way until somebody else made me
and
feel
still
that way.
Like, it's like, you're a joke for wearing this.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, maybe I'm doing something wrong. Maybe something is not aligning here. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe.
That also weirdly goes back to the like OG kind of drag scene of that they're like the butt of the joke.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there is this weird thing about it where it was like, and still is with certain performers, like, the whole joke is that, like, I'm a man wearing a dress.
Yeah.
And, like, I actually have a dick, and I actually am a cisgendered male, but isn't it wild that I'm wearing this and, like, creating this laugh about a stereotype of a woman? Like, that kind of, like, old school slapstick, like, kind of thing, while brave and important and made ground and, like, found a way through laughter to break in of gender discussions and what people thought of as being a man.
Yeah.
It's still, in a weird way, like, you're the joke. Like, old school drag, it was like, oh my God, how funny is it that this man is wearing makeup? And how funny is it that this man is wearing a dress?
Yeah.
It was like the, like, shock factor of it. And it same, in a weird way, same thing to you coming down. Like, you're just like, oh, I just like wearing this dress. Like, this is fun and cute.
Yeah.
Whereas they're like, ha ha, like, you're a joke.
They're like, how embarrassing.
Yeah.
I'm like, babe, I'm just vibing.
I'm living my best
life. I was like, I'm rocking a kitten heel and good vibes. So,
mind your business.
Yeah. But yeah, that is kind of, so for me, they, them pronouns have, I've never felt any comfort in the thought of using them, and that's my own personal journey. I've always gone back, thankfully, through therapy. I've been informed, and I've understood that the understanding that I had of what a man is first of all horrible.
Yeah.
That is the worst image of men.
Yeah.
And the fact that that is what so many people still aspire to be, and that is the man that
and
they
think is like acceptable and just like toxic masculine.
And people are like, I'm gonna run with this. That's what I want my little boy to become. Like, there's so many layers to gender within every fucking layer of gender.
Yeah, totally.
So yeah, once I realized that I could be like a man and still cry, that was pretty nice for me.
My tear ducts are allowed to work.
They are, you know, they're actually working overtime. But
oh my God, I read the funniest thing this has to do with gender that was like one of these science TikToks or whatever. It's like the account, I think it's literally like at science on whatever. They got that
shockingly
handle. They
I
got
don't
in there quick.
That.
And they had this TikTok, and I was like, isn't this just somehow still a representation of cis men? Where it was like, everyone thinks of the like men or like Neanderthals way back when as like, it's rooted down in our history. Like, they are the providers, the hunters. Like, they provide the sustenance for the women in their life. And they're like, actually, science shows that 90% of the sustenance was actually based on, like, plants and berries and things that the women were in charge of collecting.
Yeah.
And then the men were often wildly unsuccessful doing the hunting. And everyone just
good
had
to know nothing's changed.
No. And I thought, isn't that just so funny that even back to the dawn of time, women just had to let men feel like they were the important person.
Yeah.
And really, they're like, okay, yeah, just get the fuck out of my hair. Go run around, try and spear a fucking buffalo. I'm going to get shit done around yeah. here and actually make sure we survive. But I'll let you think that you're the one doing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but you go pretend to hunt that mammoth.
Okay, sweetie, yeah, yeah, you're amazing. How incredible. And then, like, still to this day, people still feel like they have to tiptoe around men and their success and feeling they're, like, they're the provider. Like, you hear all the time these heterosexual relationships where, like, the woman's like, well, now that I have a job that makes more money, he's yeah. feeling so insecure. Poor little baby. Literally. I have to not talk about how much money I make because it makes him feel small. And literally,
like, he is small.
Like, that's
he's 5'2".
I literally, like, it's so crazy to me that literally I see these in, like, columns or, like, advice stuff, and the advice to the woman is like, yeah, pump his tires up about the other things he's doing.
Kill him. Kill that man.
That should have been the advice.
The only thing men provide me with is gas. And not for my car, either. The IBS kind. I also, that's so ridiculous to me when, like, I see questions. It's kind of like a trope, but I've seen it in real life as well, that women that are taller than their partner are afraid to wear heels.
Oh, yeah. What the fuck
I'm
is
like,
that about?
Like, little short bitch man feels like less of a man. Like, step on him. Squish him.
Like,
he's
what
a,
is
he's
that
a little
even
bug.
Mean? Like, oh, I can't wear heels because my partner will feel so... Who cares? Yeah. Who literally cares?
I'm like, well, here's a... Why didn't he fucking wear heels too then?
It's so wild when you start to realize, like, how many things are embedded in our society about just making men feel good about themselves and comfortable. Yeah. And we all just have to tiptoe around, like, making them not feel insecure. And, like, while they continue to make us feel that way, we just yeah. have to, like, oh, we wouldn't want this guy to feel less than or, like, you know. It's just so fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, men are.
Yeah,
correct.
Okay. Well, we got that out. Yeah. I want to talk about... in terms of, because it started with a DM about they, them pronouns.
Yeah.
It's important for us to state that you have to respect people's pronouns.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And I know that, like, to us isn't obvious, but I think for people listening, we have a lot of people listening that are, you know, in small towns or maybe don't see a lot of LGBTQ+ representation in their immediate circle, or are cis and heterosexual but just enjoy listening to our podcast. It's not up for debate. It's not, oh, I don't get it. It's not, oh, it's hard for me to shift. It's, oh, it's hard for me to say that. Oh, blah, blah. Doesn't make sense with the English language. Don't even get me started on that. That's the worst one.
Yeah.
It's bullshit.
First, I mean,
first
of all, you're a bigot if you say that.
Oh, 1,000%. Yeah. Bottom line, you need to respect people's pronouns because, again, they are not their preferred pronouns. They are their pronouns.
Yeah.
That's that person's identity. So respect it.
Even asking, what are your preferred pronouns? It's like, what are your pronouns?
It's what are your pronouns? Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's actually a big one because I would say as of 2 years ago, I would say, what are your preferred pronouns to people? And then through listening and education that's out there, believe it or not, if you fucking open your ears, I learned that asking preferred pronouns was... wrong, because you're asking them, like, oh, what pronouns did you pick? As if it's not them. It's not their identity. So you should say, if you're out there, it's a great thing to ask for pronouns, but what are your pronouns, not what are your preferred pronouns?
Yeah.
That's something I learned a couple years ago. So you're not wrong if you didn't already know that. But I just think we all need to do a better job as cis folks, for any other cis folks listening, of listening and learning and being actively looking for new understanding, because people are talking about their experiences. The information's out there. Just you're turning a blind eye to it. If you don't know enough about certain communities, it's because you're not looking for the information.
Yeah.
The internet is fucking there. Like, there's so many creators. There's so many platforms out there that if you dig a little fucking deeper than RuPaul's Drag Race once a week, you're gonna find a lot of really awesome information for free.
And if you don't have enough information, stop talking until you do.
Absolutely. Oh my God, you know? I'd love to get that tattooed on some
people. Absolutely. Sometimes we get a lot more accomplished if you just shut the fuck up.
Cheers. I think that's a good place to end this episode.
Yeah.
That's a good summary of gender, or trying to understand other people's genders. It's just sometimes you just need to shut the fuck up and listen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But once again, this was just our experiences. People who identify as cisgendered.
People.
Listen, I identify as cisgender and a fucking nightmare. That's always a safety net there. Gotta say that, because we are just truly nightmares.
Absolute nightmares. Okay. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for following us on Instagram. Thank you for following us wherever you're listening and giving us a 5-star review. 5 stars only, otherwise disregard. And I haven't checked if the reviews have gone up since I bullied people last week, but I will be checking next week. So this is your final warning. 5-star reviews with a comment.
Jesus Christ.
Oh my God, this is the funniest thing ever. My dad, one time, my dad was like, okay, so I have like a side business called Talk Sheet Masks. Okay, it's like it's the sheet mask. And it was so funny because when we first launched, you know, you get a certain amount of followers on Instagram. And then I tell my dad how many we had sold. He's like, oh, how's it going? And I was like, oh, we've sold this many so far. It's going really well. And he's like, what the fuck? That's bullshit. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, well, what are all those likers doing? Tell them to either buy it or stop liking. Meaning the amount of followers on Instagram was higher than the amount we had sold when we first launched.
Right.
So he was like so outraged. He's like, why are they following if they're not buying?
And you're like, listen, these are the questions, Jim.
Can you imagine I start a business and I start DMing people? I'm like, are you just going to like or are you going to buy?
I haven't seen a purchase come in. Please unfollow and unlike all those photos until you have and send a receipt.
It's so funny him calling them the likers. Well, what are those likers doing?
Not purchasing, Jim.
So to the likers out there, if you're not reviewing, then what's going on?
If you're not reviewing in a talk sheet mask,
then what the fuck is going on? All right. Well, Christmas is coming up. It's great stocking stuffer at Talk Sheet Mask on Instagram. Okay.
Interesting new sponsor that we just got.
Follow us personally at Sean.Lusk, at Brianne Williamson on TikTok, Instagram, wherever the fuck you want to find people. And until next time, we will
see you around the neighborhood. Unless you're just a liker.